Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, radio listeners, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. It's a cold evening in New York, and before we get started on our show, I want to invite you to please use our call-in number, 619-639-4621. Before we introduce our topic for this evening, I want to say hello to my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hello, Delia.
How are you?
I am fine, thanks.
So, today we have a special guest that should be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was reflecting on, you know, the purpose for the show, Discussions with Delia, and how we started with the concept of becoming, you know, our better selves. You know,
mm-hmm.
how do we evolve to become our better selves?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, we do that. We all do that in different ways. You know, we reach our ultimate, our best selves, in different ways, because that means different things to different people. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was kind of reflecting on that as I myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, make transitions in my
excuse me.
Progress towards my better self.
Right.
So.
But I guess probably part of it is it a conscious effort or decision that one has to make in terms of saying, I am going to do and make things, I'm going to do things, I'm going to, you know, prepare things in such a way in my life to be my better self because I'm not there yet. Is that, you think it's a conscious decision?
It has to be.
You know, that one has to make and saying, well, I'm not there and I'm going to work at it and I'm going to put things in place and ask the right questions and read the right things and, you know, prepare myself to be my better self and know at least what I'd like to be, what I'm, you know, striving to be.
I think that it has to be a conscious decision, that it has to be creating every day greater awareness of
mm-hmm.
how we're thinking, what we're thinking,
mm-hmm.
how those thoughts impact our feelings, and
mm-hmm.
how those thoughts and feelings impact our behavior and our actions. So I think it is a conscious thought, and I think that as long as we're alive, that there's always an opportunity to be better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it, you know, it absolutely is a conscious, you know, it ought to be, I think, and I don't want me to be moralizing, but I think, you know, if we're invested in ourselves, if we're invested in,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting to be better today than we were yesterday and hoping to be better tomorrow than we are today, then
mm-hmm.
that it has to be, you know, work.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, and I think part of the growth, I guess, then is coming to that realization of saying, I need to do some work to be my best self or my, I guess, best self would be almost, my better self.
Yeah, better self.
My better self. Because,
yeah.
And I guess eventually if you work at it, you will become your
better self. Yeah,
right.
Nothing else, a better self.
Yeah,
you know, in the work that I do, this week, has been a week of reflecting and, you know, kind of like evaluating progress with the folks that I work with. And, really looking at taking stock at where we started and where we are today, you know, and recognizing that change, that growth is change. You know, even though change is always difficult, that if you don't change, you cannot grow.
If you don't change, you cannot grow. Okay. Okay.
What do you think about that?
No, I'm feeling that. I guess change is constant. And I guess if you yourself don't recognize and change, then you'll be stuck in the same place. So I agree. But I think one of the things, though, is people, I guess all of us, I'll speak for myself, that, you know, throughout your life, you're not necessarily always in tune with yourself, if you know what I mean, in terms of saying, you know what, I need to do something. I mean, life can become routine. Life can become my work, I just say that, and, you know, in terms of what is it that I need to change in my life, or what is it that I need to take stock of to affect my life, to be, as you said, your better self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes it takes things to happen in your life to kind of, wow, you know, take a moment, you know, it takes, you know, the passing of a loved one, someone getting sick or whatever it might be, a child or a birth of a child, whatever it might be, that causes you, or maybe for want of a better word, forces you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think that, you know, it's for some people, change is really frightening, you know,
mm-hmm.
or can be frightening, can be, you know, disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I think that it's always, for me, important to keep the destination in mind. You know, what's the destination? What is it that I want? You know, what is it that I want for myself? Is it, you know, a greater sense of peace of mind? Is it, you know, a better relationship with my husband? You know, is it a better relationship with my children? What's the destination? What is it that I'm looking for? And therefore, once I can identify what it is that I want, what my destination is, then it's easier to kind of decide whether there are things that need to be changed. So, you know, I think that's the critical thing. It's kind of like focusing on that. So, you know, I wonder what our listeners think about how do you... Or do you think it's important to work on becoming a better self? Do you think that's an important idea, you know, working on becoming a better self? Or is that an overrated idea or an idealistic idea? You know, how do you view that? You know, because... wondering, you know, are we satisfied with how things are, with how I am right now? Am I satisfied with that? And I think that, you know, those are important questions. I was thinking about today how, you know, just the art of conversation, where people don't spend the time, you know, I mean, mostly it's in 140 characters for Twitter. And, you know, and texting. But people don't really kind of spend the time to listen to each other. And I think, you know, the generation that's feeling that most, even though they may not realize it and they may not seem to even want it, are the children. I mean... as a therapist, you know, when I work with children, and at the end of the session, I say to them, you know, so what did we do today? And they say, oh, we did this, this, and that. And then you say, and how do you feel about that? And they say, good, because somebody listened to me, or I got to talk about my problems, or my problems, I've got my problems out. And it's really always so fascinating how they can already identify that as a...
Really?
Yeah.
How old are these children?
Young children, no matter how young. I mean, I work with children as young as 5. And, yeah, they'll almost consistently say that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I love to talk. I get to talk about my feelings, or, you know, it's very consistent that these children are able to identify that as so primary, so basic, but yet so really relevant and important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having somebody to listen to them.
Right.
And more often than not, we don't have people listening to us.
But you think, I had a thought.
What's that?
You said the children in that, is it the same when you get to, are you getting the same response if you have teenagers and late teens? Are you getting that same feeling that they feel the same way?
Yeah, depending on the child. I mean, it's not universal, but...
No, I'm just saying from your sample.
Yeah, but absolutely. I mean, some of them are, you know, more challenging to engage, is how I will say it. But once they are engaged and that therapeutic trust is established, and, you know, you'll be surprised. You say to, you know, I mean, I get parents come in and say to me, oh, we're going to go see Miss Delia. You know, they'll say to their children, we're going to go see Miss Delia. And they say, yay! You know, and they're, like, surprised that the child has that response, that they're coming to see me as a therapist. So, you know, but I think it's because, one, you know, when you create or foster an environment that's totally non-judgmental and where they feel accepted and there's no punishment, as you know, no matter what the confession, there's no punishment, you know. You know, we talk about consequences. We talk about what could you do different, what did you learn, but there's no, you know, chastising. Oh, my God, you're a dreadful person for doing that.
Right.
So I think, yeah, that, you know, I see that with all the children, with people, period.
Right.
You know, with people, period, I see that.
So it almost, well, okay, I guess as you talk about it, it makes me think, if people feel as if they can express themselves without judgment or consequence, you know, or being criticized or being... put up on or feel as if they need to parse their words or be selective in how they express themselves, they could just speak. They can just be themselves, because it's a matter of just sharing information in terms of sharing their thoughts without saying, well, why did you think that, or so on and so forth. You know, then it becomes easier regardless of age.
Right.
You know, regardless of age.
Yeah, it is. It does. So... you know, we have, or we're expecting a special guest for today, Mr. Bobby Clark, who is by any measure or any description, a real pioneer in the business that he does, which is media. And Mr. Clark, I believe, is on the line. Mr. Clark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And I'm here. Thanks for having me.
No, we thank you for being here, sir.
Not a problem.
How are you this evening?
You know what? It's a good day. It's a good day above Earth and a good day that God has given us. So I'm very happy to be here. Good day.
Oh, wonderful. And I thank you so much for joining us. You know, we were just talking about, you know, becoming our better selves, right? And I guess we can say that in your field, you've certainly excelled and demonstrated that you can certainly achieve at the top of your field in what you do. So tell us, Mr. Clark, what is it that you do that makes you, you know, that has caused you to excel so well in you know, and Ivy Jam to be such a success?
Let's start with my faith in the Lord and the prayers that I try and say every day, every moment of the day. I also think that it comes with dedication and trying to always do the best at whatever I'm doing. to serve the community that I'm serving here in the U.S.
Right, right. How did you come to be in this business?
Let me start from. So I was in college, and I went to college here in New York, and realized that the standard of radio in Jamaica was way higher than the standard of radio here. And I decided, you know what, let me see if I can make that happen, where I'd bring Jamaican radio here. So I flew to Jamaica, met with Carl Young, of the former owner, he passed away, of IRFM, and we negotiated a simulcast, and that's how we started. We started by simulcasting Jamaican radio here into New York.
So you're still a relatively young man, so you must have been but a pup.
Basically, yes. Let me just say that to keep my age off the radio. But yeah,
go ahead.
I was in my 20s, early 20s.
You had any radio experience before, or any interest?
You know
in
what? Let me start by saying that my dad used to be a cabaret singer on the North Coast, and my first love was, of course, music. His name, Winston Clark, and he used to do cabaret in most of the top hotels on the North Coast. So as my childhood was spent gathering his clothing, gathering clothing that women threw on stage, gathering, I learned to drive by driving him to and from work, and being a part of the music and the industry of music. After realizing I had no singing voice, I guess the love of the music and being around the music is where I wanted to be. So the radio was another part of, you know, music to me, of extension of the music. So radio was, I was drawn to it because of the music industry itself.
And so as you develop the idea of Ivy Jam, you know, which is, I mean, it's known on, you know, all over the world, what do you think it represents, or what do you want Ivy Jam to represent to our community and the wider community?
Well, you know, let me start by saying that the vision for Ivy Jam came from Milford Edwards. At the time, I had a travel agency in the Bronx with my partner, Mark Pinnock, and Milford Edwards walked in selling commercials for his airtime. And Milford Edwards is one of those radio pioneers from JBC. He was a Rastafarian, and I think his story was that he lost his job at JBC because he became a Rastafarian. But he's a very smart, technical person, and so happened that I had that thought of bringing Jamaican radio to the U.S. and he came up at the right time and said, you know what, I can make that happen. So he engineered the vision to do that simulcast. And what progressed from there was Ivy Jam was on Ivy FM for a lot of years, and then we were on Fame FM for some more years. But while doing that, we realized that the Caribbean community here was not being served properly, and the attention turned to serving the community here. And the Ivy Jam mantra, it really comes from servicing a community here. I'm sure I could sell cars or houses or real estate or mortgages and make more money. But serving every single Jamaican or Caribbean person here became my career and my priority. So when we see Ivy Jam excelling and doing better, it comes from the just responding to the need of the community. We do fundraisers. We support Caribbean businesses. We help them to grow. We have hurricane relief when it needs to be. We have coat drives, and we do things behind the scenes, not for profit, but to make sure that we can keep the Caribbean people informed and educated to what's going on back home. We can entertain them with music and concerts, and we can also enrich them by giving them an outlet for them to express themselves and their heritage and their culture. So I'm glad when people say that we're successful, and I'm glad when people say that we're doing great, because in our minds here, that means the community is doing great and the community is excelling. If we have 3 million people here in the Tri-State area, and that we're servicing, and 25,000 of them come to a concert that we're having, that means we can now encourage them to vote for what they want to work towards. We can unite them to buy real estate and enrich their families and the rest of the community. And we can make decisions as a community as well as to what's best for us. So that's how IRIJAM's vision works and how the outlook is. So our whole being is to make sure that we can see the Caribbean community being enhanced, and we can definitely launch Brand Jamaica to all different levels globally from our little platform here. You know, so that is where the pride comes in and the success. We never measure our success financially, because sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. But our love for community is never ending, and it's the same every day. When somebody calls in and says, you know, thank you for playing that song because it helped me through my day, or they can't call Kiss FM and they can't call BLS because they don't play those songs, or they don't represent the culture or the heritage of that person. So I believe our success is that, is just being able to make sure that we can support the community that's here. 3 million people is the largest Caribbean community outside of the Caribbean. And we take great pride in doing that and making sure that what we do every day has that as priority and everything else second. You know, so that's how we here see the growth.
Right. So from a legacy perspective then, you know, let me see if I understand. It's about, you know, organizing the community, bringing them together, and kind of uniting them. Because on any evening, given the evening when IRIJAM is on the radio, or on a Saturday morning, I think more, you probably have most of your listenership on Saturdays. So on a Saturday morning, it's almost like you have a, you know, this community that's connected through this radio station, because including
right.
our family, we go to IRIJAM.
God bless you.
Throughout the diaspora is connected, and particularly on a Saturday morning, to an anchored IRIJAM. So is part of the legacy about political empowerment, or, you know, what lasting change, you know?
Well,
you
know what? I think that the legacy involves that. And I think that the empowerment of public figures is a major part of that role. I was just doing another interview, and I was asked if I have any aspirations. And I definitely don't, but I aspire to back and promote and to be a support system for all Jamaicans or Caribbeans who has that kind of aspiration. Because I believe that it's important that other than Una Clark and Yvette and the one and two that's here, we need to strive for empowerment. Erwin Clare, who's a part of IRIJAM, has been able to do that and is championing that cause on a daily basis. But it's also important for us to as a community to uplift and to build through those avenues. But that's only one part of what we do. We also connect the younger, not Caribbean born citizens of this country Right, to their culture and to their traditions, because many of them here who was born here never had a Nez Berry, don't know what a sauce up is, and they don't know who Miss Lou is, and they don't understand our traditions. So they might see a Rastafarian as somebody who has locks and not as a religion or part of our culture. So it's important for us to insert those things to allow them to connect with their roots. It's also important that we connect to our sports and to Usain and whoever else or whatever, encouraging people to support that. Then to our music, of course, to know the Bob Marleys, the David Marleys, and know Tessan Chin, who's now exporting our culture and music. So our role is multifold. We have to do everything all at once and service from young to old and cover all the gamuts of everything that moves Caribbean and Jamaica. So it's important to be plugged in and to be able to educate and inform while entertaining that diaspora that we serve.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I think that is important. And I think, you know, if anything, that is our message, you know, our takeaway message from this show.
Right.
About you know, how do we reach out to the next generation? Because I'll tell you this, Barb, that one of the things that's really concerning to me in terms of education is that, for example, the children who here from Jamaica, a lot of them are put in special education, and they receive services for students as, you know, English as a second language. Because before, when you and I grew up, we had dual language. We could talk Patwa, and we could still speak proper English. Now our children who are coming are not able to do that. They are not as talented. They're not receiving those services. So we find that there is, you know, there's that problem of children coming from, our children coming from, who are not able to. So I wonder, what message do you have for our young people? What message do you have for the young ones who aspire to be Bobby Clark?
Shoot higher than just Bobby Clark. But before I even answer that, I want to commend you and Raymond for having this forum, because this is where it starts. And I think that just being able to do what you do now and for you to even just venture out into it is where it starts, where the outreach and the providing the outlet for them, the younger and the older, to listen and hear and learn is where the first steps are. So a young person coming in into this scenario needs to always, first of all, try and get educated. Educated, period. And I think I have four kids, and I try and drive that home every day. Before you do anything else, think about your future and how you want to see it. And then strive to be better educated to get to that. Education is your vehicle, and that's going to carry you to wherever you want to go. And I think that's my message to younger people. You know who you are, understand where you want to go, and then get in the vehicle of education and get there. You know? Okay. So that's
what I want to
say.
Thank you for taking the time with us and for sharing, you know, your experience and your past, your history with us. I really appreciate the time.
Anytime, and I would love to do whatever you say. So I don't want to thank Raymond for being here.
No.
My motivation.
I want to say thank you. I want to say happy anniversary, happy 20th anniversary for Ivy Jam.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to share with us. Obviously, we learned so much more about you than we knew before. So thank you so much.
No problem. Right. Anytime. And you keep doing what you're doing. Please, don't stop. All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
So thank you for joining us for another episode. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.